Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at the future of the Iranian nuclear deal. The 12th of May deadline for renewing the Iranian nuclear deal is right around the corner, and the world waits with bated breath to find out whether Trump will keep it, scrap it, or renegotiate it. The Iranians already promised that they'll pull out of the agreement if anything within it changes, and promptly go back to researching nuclear energy technology, something that the U.S. has threatened on numerous occasions could result in future military action. America's top ally, Israel, accused its Iranian rival at the beginning of the week of secretly advancing its supposedly frozen nuclear program in spite of the 2015 accord, though Prime Minister Netanyahu has a reputation for exaggerating anything that has to do with this topic. Russia, China, and the three European parties to the agreement are strongly against any American withdrawal, though the U.S.'s Western allies have indicated that they'd support Trump's moves to renegotiate the deal. Just like last month's strikes on Syria put the U.S., France, and the U.K. on the opposite side of Russia, China, and Iran, so too might Trump's decision to tinker with or outright scrap the nuclear agreement do the same, in exacerbating the growing new Cold War divide between the world's unipolar and multipolar forces. It's impossible to ever know with any degree of certainty what the U.S. president will do, but most scenario forecasts prognosticate that a return to multilateral sanctions against Iran is a distinct possibility. Any significant moves by the U.S. and Iran in relation to this agreement, whether taken unilaterally or in response to the other, could jeopardize the so-called cold peace that set in between the two since the deal was signed almost 3 years ago, thus formalizing their return to their simmering proxy war that never fully ended in spite of this agreement. Trump's presidency has thus far seen the American leader frame his country's Mideast policy in terms of containing Iran, both in terms of its direct military political influence via the elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and what it wields through its regional allies such as Hezbollah and the Syrian government. So all indications suggest that he might just take it a step further by pulling out of the deal. All right, folks, to start off our conversation today about this very exciting topic, we're joined by Mr. Alex Cristoforo. He is the president and writer for TheDuran.com.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Alex, to what extent is Trump's opposition to the deal driven by its actual contents, and how much is it just a scapegoat for America's strategic failures in the region over the past years?
Well, I think a lot of the deal is the possible pullout of the deal, or what some White House officials are now urging Trump to do, which is to find some sort of renegotiation of the deal, is really driven by two things. I think number one, it's driven by Trump's campaign promise, and Trump has managed to notch a few wins during his first year as president that align with his campaign promises, but he's also failed on certain parts. The most glaring one is obviously a rapprochement with Russia and being a non-interventionist president. So there's been some wins that he's had, mostly on the domestic front, and there's been some losses. Now, the Iran deal was something that he spoke about at large during the campaign, that he was that it was a bad deal, it was a terrible deal. He pinned a lot of the blame on Obama. And he said he was going to either renegotiate it or pull out. So on the one side, you have the campaign promises that Trump made during the election. But then you also have the DNA of Donald Trump, which I think a lot of it is based on, you know, the art of the deal type of person that he portrays himself to be, the showman, the branded Trump, the brand Trump, which is the negotiator, that person that wants to find a contract, find a deal that was made in the previous Obama administration and renegotiate it and show that he is the astute and the smart businessman, the top negotiator that he has branded himself to be all these years. So I think there's two parts to the Iran from Trump's side. to the Iran crisis, if you may want to call it that, the Iran nuclear deal crisis that's unfolding.
Okay, Alex. Well, you know, Trump's known for his negotiating brinksmanship and wasn't shy about threatening nuclear war with North Korea last year in a bid to bring Kim back to the negotiating table, for example. So, Alex, how serious do you think he is in threatening to pull out of the Iranian nuclear deal in spite of the dangerous consequences that could potentially be involved here?
Well, I don't know how much of the details Trump as a president really knows about the deal, or how much he's concerned about the very fine details of the deal between Iran, of the nuclear deal with Iran. Saying that, I think that Trump's position here is serious. I think that when he is saying he will pull out, I think he will pull out because he has made campaign promises, and those campaign promises were very specific towards pulling out of the Iran deal. The problem, I think, though, is not that Trump can't be talked out of it, because I do think he has some White House officials that are telling him, don't pull out of the deal, or some sort of middle ground so that you can notch a win for the deal. But, you know, maybe you don't go back on the campaign promise. The problem with what's going on is that him pulling out of the Iran deal aligns perfectly with a lot of the neoconservatives and the neocons that have taken over his cabinet, and they are pushing for him to pull out. Most notably, you have John Bolton, who was recently appointed, who is probably one of the most well-known Iran quote-unquote haters out there. And he is whispering now in Trump's ear to pull out. And then you have Netanyahu, on the other hand, in Israel, who's pushing a big marketing campaign, as we saw even last week with his presentation, to try and go Trump into pulling out of the Iran deal. So Trump's position here is not that he can't be talked out of not pulling out or find some sort of compromise. It's that it's aligned with a very powerful part of his cabinet that does want him to pull out and eventually does want him to go to war with Iran.
Right. I mean, these are some pretty important but unseen forces that are impacting on the president's judgment in this case. So, Alex, to wrap everything up then, it's of course always difficult to predict the future, but what chain of events do you foresee transpiring if Trump scraps the accord or tries to renegotiate it next week?
Well, I think the number one thing to look for is if he does scrap the accord, is to see what the Europeans are going to do. Now, Macron was in D.C. and Merkel was in D.C. just a week or two ago. And I think it goes without question that top on the agenda was trying to convince Trump not to pull out of the Iran deal. Saying that, the European leaders have never shown much of a backbone or much of a desire to stand up to the United States in the past. So even though they may despise Trump, or they may not get along with Trump, or may not agree with his stance on various issues, if he does pull out of the Iran deal, the Europeans have said that they will stick with the deal. The question is will they? That's a big question. You know, it's hard to say if the Europeans will stand by their word and not back Trump in the United States if he does pull out of the deal. Now, if you renegotiate, I think that provides a little wiggle room for everybody. The question is, does Iran want to renegotiate? So far, they've stated that they will not renegotiate, nor do they have the reason to renegotiate. I mean, a deal is a deal, and everyone agreed to this deal, and including Iran, and to go back to the renegotiating table sounds kind of silly, for a lack of a better word, for them. So the question becomes to me is what will the Europeans do if Trump does a full pullout from the deal? And if the path is any indicator of what might happen, you know, don't be surprised to see the Europeans also fold on the deal from immense U.S. pressure. So that's a possibility. But, you know, as we saw with North Korea, anything goes in this geopolitical world that we live in with President Donald Trump.
Okay, well, Alex, thanks a lot for speaking with us today. I really appreciated how you explained Trump's strategic calculations on this issue. And I also liked how you shared your forecast with us at the end of our conversation. So we'll keep our eyes on those factors. And thanks again for coming in to Trendstorm. Okay, now we're going to switch over and hear what Mr. Patrick Henningsen has to say. Patrick's the executive editor of the news and analysis website, 21st Century Wire.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Patrick, the future of the deal is in the U.S.'s hands, but it appears as though Trump and his team are operating based on a plan that they already have in mind. So, Patrick, what's Washington up to, and why is it flirting with pulling out of the agreement?
That's a good question, Andrew. I think there's two ways you can look at this. You can look at this from the angle of that this is just the art of the deal, in which case It wouldn't be a full cancellation of the JCPOA, but rather a renegotiation, if you're following Donald Trump's negotiation tactics. But that's not necessarily a deal with Iran. Who's really negotiating here? That's the question. And if you look at the very close relationship between the White House and Tel Aviv, I would say that Washington is effectively negotiating with Israel as to what it wants. So you have the neoconservative crowd in Washington, you have Jared Kushner, you have the lobby, you have Likud, and none of these care what the EU wants, and certainly not what Iran wants. But so this could be negotiated between those two parties, and then the U.S. would then need the U.K. and France to force Germany over to their side, which would be to sort of put a ban on ballistic missiles by Iran, and who knows how far they could push this envelope. They could go so far as to demand that Iran pull forces or assets out of Syria itself. So never underestimate Netanyahu and this crowd's ability to overdo it. That's his signature quality. But the future of the deal may not actually be in U.S. hands. So really, the U.K. and France could very much be in their camp as well, because the U.S. can't go it alone, as it were. The Germany and the EU are much more neutral, I would say, in this respect. And the EU have a lot to lose, because it's already staked its position in the fall of 2017 when Federica Mogherini categorically went up against Israel and the U.S. and said, no, there will be no revoking of the JCPOA. And that elevated the EU above the kind of normative power status and put it into as a direct foreign policy player mm-hmm. on the global stage. So Brussels has a huge amount to lose in terms of, say, saving face as to their previous position.
Okay, so what realistic options does Iran have at its disposal in responding to the U.S. if it demands to renegotiate the deal or decides to pull out of it? And Patrick, how effective can these be in the face of multilateral Western and Gulf state pressure against it?
Unfortunately, Iran doesn't have a lot of options within the framework of this deal, other than maybe take the Pyongyang route, the North Korean route, which is to pursue a nuclear deterrent, but that would most likely invite a joint U.S. Israeli military action, preemptive action possibly. So, or they could go on a diplomatic offensive across Europe, and that would, say, elevate their own case for the normalization of international relations across a broader spectrum. And certainly I wouldn't rule that out, but theoretically Iran could promise to move assets out, or Hezbollah could announce a withdrawal of forces from Syria, but that's unlikely because Iran is leading the Astana process. And terrorism is a big national security issue for Lebanon and Iran. So there's not a lot I think they've got in terms of options within the framework of this deal. But outside of the deal, they can pursue just a normal policy moving towards the east.
Okay, now if we talk about the east then, to what extent, Patrick, can Iran depend on its Russian and Chinese multipolar partners in the event that Trump either scraps this nuclear accord or decides to renegotiate it? Because, you know, we know that the U.S. is very hostile towards the agreement. You explain why the EU is more neutral, but Russia and China are very, very supportive of it. So, Patrick, what would be the geopolitical ramifications of the world splitting into two different camps, if we can use that word, over this issue, the West and the East?
Well, that's a good point. I mean, not much actually changes in that respect, because Iran's already shut out of the international financial networks because of U.S. sanctions, and any further isolation as a result of the JCPOA failing would only force, I would say, the geopolitical center of gravity eastward, if we're talking about a bigger conversation here. And with that, more polarization between East and West, and setting the scene possibly for a bigger confrontation down the road, perhaps. So in terms of the future of Iran in its relationship with the East, it's pretty certain that that's a strong relationship between Iran, China, and Russia. But if you look at what's really going on with this deal, this is effectively the U.S. trying to pull members of the EU, the more neutral parties, away from Russia, if you look at the big picture, or maybe and away from China in that respect. So it's causing, it's trying to find a fissure, a split there. And so that's what I think the bigger picture is they don't want to have the entirety of Europe, the EU as a normative power, and then Germany, France, and the UK essentially on the side of Russia, if you think about this deal. So if you look at it big, on a bigger terms, it's not just about what Israel and Saudi Arabia want from Iran. It's also about pulling away those European powers away from Russia on the U.S., maybe Israeli, Saudi Arabian side of this deal.
Patrick, this was an interesting explanation of the art of the deal, as you put it, which helped us understand everyone's interests a lot better and appreciate this event as the defining geopolitical moment that it might actually shape out to be. So thanks again for coming on our program.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, if we think back on what both Alex and Patrick share with us today, we can see that, of course, the deal is up in the air. No one knows what's going to happen to it, but it does look likely that Trump will either renegotiate or scrap the accord. Now, the Iranian reaction will predictably be very negative towards this. They have indicated that they have no desire to renegotiate a deal that all parties have previously agreed to. I mean, from their perspective, they rightly see that as being very unfair. But unfortunately, as the Americans think, might makes right. Now, not in the moral ethical sense, but in the sense that the U.S. is holding the cards here. They're the ones determining the future, and they don't seem willing to want to play by the rules, hence why they want to change the rules or just get rid of them entirely. Now, this is a very, very dangerous and destabilizing development. We'll have to see what happens. I don't think there's going to be any war next week, so to speak, like some people are fear-mongering, but it is a pretty negative development nonetheless. All right, folks, well, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.